All right, so the microphone is on. Little tinny, but we'll see. I have faith in the guy in the back. He taught me everything I know about sound. You're not supposed to say that, Eric. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I'm gonna piggyback kind of on how fortunate are you guys. This is all my notes. All of them. Yes, we're getting out of here, right? No. Y'all must not know me. When you're a kids pastor for as long as I was a kids pastor, you really only need a scripture to go forever. So, Steve, I was watching something this week, and it brought up the fact that unbelief is a sin. Amen. Oh my gosh, that'll get you. Yeah. But as I think I made mention of this on a Wednesday night, I was Heather had a Journey, a Dodge Journey, the vehicle, and it was giving us problems. And I had always wanted a truck, and she wanted one too, we'll say, just for jokes. And I bought our truck when gas was just around, we'll say, $3 a gallon, right? Didn't cost anything to fill that in, you know, at that time. But man, then gas got over $4, and it was like, oh my gosh, that's expensive. Why did I buy this truck? But the reality is, thank God I have a supply.
Amen.
And I was meditating on that this week, because in finance I listen to a lot of the complaining, right? And not just by clients who come in, but by pretty much everybody, right? Talking about the gas prices, talking about food prices, talking about this, that, and the other thing. Interest rates are going up, whatever it is. And I sit back and I go, I was talking, I think Ireland. I paid when I first started driving, gas, I think the least I paid for a gallon of gas was like 89 cents. 85? That's
one day,
85 cents. John, anybody lower than that? Some of y'all might have paid a quarter or something, right? I didn't. That's a way to tell on yourself, you old folks. No, I'm just joking. Don't take that wrong. 60, 65, 17 cents. So I just want you guys to know, at 17 cents a gallon, how you think they're feeling about $5 gas. Yep, it takes, we'll say five, right? Because 20 cents, right? It times five would be a dollar. So that's 20, that's a lot of like multipliers.
Yeah.
They're still driving. Amen. None of them sold their trucks.
Amen.
None of them, they might have cried when it happened, but the world is no different. The same thing keeps happening. Prices go up, but it's part of what happens. We can sit there and we can dwell on those things that the world dwells on. We could be upset. And guys, I know what it's like to only have the lint in your pocket. I do. Oh, but there's another way.
Amen.
There is another way. Just don't be stuck where you're at.
That's right.
And the surest way to stay exactly where you're at is to make it the biggest thing in your life.
Amen.
So get out of the rut of woe is me. Be like, woe is God. Because that is the truth right there. Today I wanted to talk, it's Father's Day, and I try as I might, I could not come up with a Father's Day message, because if every time I was really trying to force my studies towards something geared to fathers for Father's Day, and it got to a point I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I think we're going to play video. We won't. We'll say the live stream was down, and we'll watch a movie, right? And because that's about where I was when I was really going after this in study yesterday. And I was praising and worshiping, and I was praying, and I was reading, and going back and forth, and it just seemed like there was something more. There was something for more than just fathers, because God does have something for more than just fathers every time we show up here. So rather than focus on fathers, we guys, I decided to focus on Father God. And today's message is, what did the Father give you? So in Genesis 1:26, and this is, it's funny because Heather kind of is who put a little fly in my ear, I guess you could say, and started me down this adventure, this particular path. And then a conversation we were all having, Ireland said that she had one of my ears and one of Heather's ears. And I was like, that's weird. Right? And I got to thinking, what did God give us? What part of God is in all of us? Right? And so Genesis 1:26, I have God's word version up. You guys don't have to put that up. It's fine. It said, then God said, let us make humans in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the domestic animals all over the earth, and all the animals that crawl on the earth. So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. He created them, male and female, in his image. I think of Gabriel, right? He's in back. Come here, Gabe. Yeah, so. Oh, that is a nice cane, and it would be wonderful to whack him with it. Gabriel is the spitting image of Clinton. This is my son. You can go away. Thank you, Gabe. I love you. Happy Father's Day. It's his first Father's Day. Way to go, bud. So, there's a picture of Gabriel when he was really excited. Actually, he had just bought his Jeep Renegade. I'm sorry. It is gone now. But in the window, there's just his profile. And if you didn't know it was Gabe, you'd have sworn it was me. That is the image that I gave to Gabe. If you've spent any time around us, we walk the same. We talk the same. We have the same weird, like this. We have the same personality. What did God give you? What is God's image? If God created you, all of you, not you, and not you, but you as in us. If God created all of us in his image, what do we look like? Can you tell a difference between you and God? The easiest way to test that is, what is God? Who is God? What does God represent? We all know that God is love. What kind of love? How does God love? If you'll go with me, let's go to 1 John 4:16. Yes. We have known and believed that God loves us. God is love. Now, we as a church are called to love people. Okay? We are not called to condone and excuse things that are contrary to God. But in that, we can still love people. Who, everybody agree with that? We can still love people without compromising who we are in Christ. Everybody get that? Which means you don't have to be a hateful and angry person all the time. Something came up when I was studying this. In the Old Testament, God is a jealous God.
Yeah.
And He visits wrath.
Yes, amen.
Some of y'all are like, that's what I want. I like that. But that's not God. God is love. The love of God is explained, of course, in the love chapter. We could go there, but I think I'll just sum it up in this. Unconditional love. The love you, because we all say, well, I love my kids, the God kind of love. But I can promise you, I'm just, no, you don't. You liar. Because there are times where I don't love my kids at all. I'd love to whoop them. There are times when they anger me to a point where I could just grab them by their ankles and throw them. That's not the God kind of love. That is not love. We have a job, if we are created in God's image, and God's image is love, we need to love.
Amen.
We need to be love for those who don't experience love.
Amen.
A lot of people are in the mess they're in because they haven't loved. A lot of people are in the mess they're in because they refuse to love. In addition to being a loving person, God forgives. This one is for those of you, it's for all of us really, but like what Steve was saying, how come God couldn't keep him? Did you know that unforgiveness will eat away at your soul? Unforgiveness will eat away at who you are? Unforgiveness can make you a vicious, bitter person. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you." Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Luke 6:37, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." Matthew 18:21 through 22, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?'" Peter was like, I can do seven, God. And I'm tiptoeing right next to my most. Like, up to seven? Do you know how many seven is? How did Jesus answer that? 77 times. But, well, this particular translation says, not seven times, but 77 times. That doesn't mean, I want to clarify, that doesn't mean at time 76 you walk up and say, "Listen, Steve, that was 76. You do this one more time. That's all you get. That's the 77th time. And I'm done." We're not playing this game anymore. God wants you to keep forgiving people. That doesn't mean you have to let somebody walk all over you. It means forgive them. Forgiveness is a heart thing. Y'all know that? Your mind and your heart, two different things. And I know the Bible says forgive and forget, but sometimes that's detrimental to your life. What that means is don't lord it over somebody. When you forgive them, forgive them. I can't think of anything I've had to forgive Heather for lately. That's what she's forgiven me for lately. But it's not going, hey, remember that time when you did this to me and I forgave you? You know, that's, you better watch yourself, because we could go back to the hatefulness I was harboring towards you before I forgave you, right? You ain't been forgiven, and nor have you forgiven. God forgives us, right? God, in addition to that, so we're back to image, God is also giving. He has sacrificed for us. When we're walking in love, what have you given? Now, some of you, you'll come up with some superficial thing, right? Well, I've given of my time. I gave away my full ride baseball scholarship. If that was you, I apologize. I could have been somebody if I hadn't of. Yeah, how do you think God? So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? We all know that. It's kids' life. If you don't, they're teaching it every week. How many times has God said that? Well, gosh, if I hadn't given my son, do you think he's ever murmured that? If I hadn't have given this, if I hadn't have done that, because y'all know that God just straight wiped out the planet one time. He was like, you know what? I don't even like people now. Clean slate. He stayed judgment multiple times. Now, some people died in those stayings of judgment, right? The people with the snakes, you know, Korah's family. They all got eaten up by the earth, you know. God always provided a way. Mm-hmm. Amen. With the snakes, the logo we have for medicine, it's like a snake on a stick. That's biblical. Man, if the nurses and stuff that are atheists only knew that. Oh, I love that. That's hilarious. It's my favorite thing. God is so cool. These are the things that, if this isn't in your image, you should kind of rethink what you're doing. Yeah. Adjust course. Yeah. When people see you coming, here comes that Christian guy. Here comes that guy who loves God. Here comes that guy that's always weird happy. Amen. I do have my resting face is not the nicest face. I get it. I have tried to work on it, but I think it's the sunlight. I don't like light. So I look like Brittany does right now. I promise you, if you see me walking and I look angry, I'm really happy inside. It's, I don't know. I'm like that house that's really scary, but it's like a fun house inside. So I apologize if you've ever thought I'm mad, because I focus on things too much. That's essentially what it is. But if you talk with me, you'll know that I'm actually kind of goofy. I have a lot of fun. I can scold people and be angry, but it's not my favorite. Hey, I'm going to tell on Steve. You know, Steve and I were sparring at Taekwondo once, and he punched me in the forehead. Not hard. It was beautiful, too. I didn't even know it was there. And the whack! I was like, what? What just happened? Don't fight Steve. He's a ninja. It was actually pretty funny. That came up when you were talking about giving this morning. I'm like, I forgot what it was, but I'm like, dude, that's just like when you punched me in the forehead. Because sure enough, he punched me right in the forehead, and it was like wind. It was amazing. It was pretty cool. Another part of God's image is that He provides. Hallelujah, that's enough to jump. When I filled up that gas tank the first time, when we were going to California the day after I bought the truck, and I filled up the gas tank, and I had never put more than like 10 gallons in a tank of gas. None of my vehicles ever took more than 10 or 15 gallons, something like that. A truck has a huge gas tank. I did not know how expensive it was to fill a truck. And I, part of me wanted to cry. What did I? Because I might have, before I knew that I had a supply, I might have been a miser. I might have. I'm not going to say that that's true, but I might have counted every penny. And it got worse when I became a banker. But God. Amen. Psalm 107:9, for He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what is good. I like this. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Son. Yup, check this out. God wants you to have more than just what you need. Because when you have just enough food to get through the end of the day, you cannot enjoy what you have. For one, if you have any kids, kids eat everything. You could be like, no. I know this because like I've had chocolates that were my chocolates. I've had cookies that were my cookies. Sodas that were my sodas, and I was like, man, I can't wait to get home. I got a soda waiting for me. And I got home and the kids drank it. Oh. It's hard to enjoy things when you have only enough. So when I hear somebody say, well, God never meant for you to have more than you need. That's not scripturally based. God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to be filled with happiness. He wants us to be filled with joy. God provides because that's who He is. It's His image. When God was creating the earth for man, Did he only put one tree? That what? There was a what? A garden? Now, technically, we were vegetarians back then. Thank God that's not a thing anymore. like that's high raw vegans, right? The Adam and Eve. They weren't eating animals then. But bacon. Just like Heather, we made corn chowder the other day, And I know it's summertime, you're not supposed to make soup. It's like against the law or something like that, especially when you live in Arizona. But we went to this delicious restaurant when we took Isaac to get surgery. And we ate at this place called, I don't know, Grassroots? It was good. Grassroots, right? And they had corn chowder. It was amazing. And, so we were trying to recreate it. I had never even made a soup, except for top ramen, right? Maybe some vegetable beef out of a Campbell's can, but not like homemade soup. So I got to do a whole pound of bacon to make some corn chowder. It was good. But Santa said something. He was talking about beans and chorizo being in beans. And I was like, oh my gosh. I wonder if I put chorizo inside of the corn chowder, would it be even better? Ireland said what Heather is, but I like chorizo. Might fry some up. We still got some soup left. Pour a little. I think it'd be amazing. I know now that what is missing from the corn chowder, it had chicken in it. So it's missing meat. The one at Grassroots had chicken. Yeah, it did. It did. I must have eaten it all. Whatever. I don't know how I got on that. But God provides food. He provides more than you want. He provides everything for you to be happy. Happy. Can you get behind a God that wants more for you than what you have right now? That's not out of greed. That's out of taking God at His word. Man, if the rest of the world would, of the body of Christ would catch on to this one truth and stop listening to people that are just angry about everything. Man, that's awesome. Luke 22:35, and he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, and when I sent you out without money belt and bag and sandals, you did not like anything, did you? They said, no, nothing. They left with empty pockets and bare feet and nothing to carry anything in. And they went from town to town and they had more than enough. Man. There's only one time, and check this out, there's only one time in Scripture where God's people only had enough for the day. What time was that? Manna, right? Manna and the doves. One time in the wilderness. But I want you guys to catch on to something here. What were they toting with them? Did they have all the wealth of Egypt?
Yes.
So, y'all need to get happy about that. Because they only had enough that God, and they didn't even have to do anything.
Right.
It's like they woke up, oh, look, manna. Now, some of them dudes were upset about it. And what did God do? Fine. How about some bird? Right? And I know for a fact, because I like chicken, and chicken's better for you than beef and all these other things. And there's a million ways to cook chicken, but Ireland does not want to eat chicken anymore. So I can only imagine that God's people kind of didn't want to have doves and loaves. I get it, right? Quail, it was quail. Good job. Doves is that other bird. Little birds, rodent birds, however you want to put it. But that's the only time, and they were carrying around all the riches of Egypt. All they needed was a Walmart. They would have been perfect. That is our God. But you know what? They couldn't see that they were the richest nation in the world right there. Because they were too focused on the trouble at hand. What am I going to eat?
Yeah.
Grumbling and complaining. did you get from God? We all as men, as leaders in our, and of the household at home, we all have the responsibility to provide for our families. What we need to do, though, is stop focusing on the narrow picture. Start focusing on everything God has for you. God is also a God who heals. I've seen this in my own life. God's healing power in my body. If you've heard me speak more than once, you've heard me talk about my back, the cane I walked with, the brain tumor that I had, the different things that I've had go on inside of my body that have put me in the hospital at times. But yet I stand and I speak and I go after the things of God. Amen. God is a God who heals. He brings healing. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. That's James 5:14. Psalm 146:8 says, the Lord gives sight to the blind, and the Lord lift up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Exodus 23:25 says, worship the Lord your God, and his blessings will be on your food and water, and I will take sickness from among you. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is a God who heals. And because we're talking about the image that God has placed in us, we need to help to bring healing to a lost world, to a lost people. I've told this story before. There was this lady who, she was having eye surgery in like a week. I worked with her. she's getting ready to go into the doctor to have eye surgery. And I felt inside of me that God told me to pray for her. And then if I pray for her, she would be healed. And so she allowed me to pray for her. I prayed for her, and she went to the doctor for her pre-op, and she didn't have to have surgery anymore. That's a cool story. She said it was a coincidence. She's like, isn't that a coincidence? I'm like, I don't know if I would call it a coincidence. I'd call it God healed your eyes, but you do you, right? I had a really bad relationship with, he was my manager. We didn't get along. We didn't see eye to eye. He actually laid hands on me once in the Christian way. So it was a rough patch, right? He was dating somebody that I worked with. And I found out that he had terminal cancer in his lymphs. And if you that know anybody like that, they usually die. And I found out about it, and the God inside of me wouldn't allow me to be like, well, that's what that dude gets. Or better, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Right? And his girlfriend, she believed in Jesus, but a different Jesus. But she knew something about the spiritual aspect of reality. And so I felt comfortable in telling her because as soon as I found out that he had cancer, instead of being mean, God deposited inside of me, if he'll allow you, because we were like oil and water, we weren't getting along. God put it in me, if he'll allow you to pray for him, I'll heal him. Here's a guy he actually had to stop working because of his diagnosis and the prognosis thereof, right? And I told his girlfriend, I'm like, hey, tell him this. And she said, okay, whatever, right? And she blew it off. And weeks had passed by, and I hadn't heard a word from him. I said, hey, did you tell him? And she's like, oh, I had forgotten, and whatever. And he came into work one day. Not to work, but he came into the branch. And again, like I said, we don't get along, this guy and I. And I went over to him. I said, before you leave, will you come talk to me? And he said, yeah, not a problem, right? And when he came over to the office, I said, I don't know if you believe in God or what your situation is with Jesus, but God said, and I told him it that way. I didn't say, I believe that. I said, God told me that if you'll allow me to pray for you, he'll heal you right now. And he said, wow, you could pray for me. and I prayed for him. And so then, like 2 years later, you know, he got married, him and that lady, they moved to Florida. And so here's a guy who was dying. He's on his way out. He had already started losing his beautiful locks, and he had a giant mustache that, I mean, makes marks look little. But here's a guy who was healed completely of terminal cancer. On his way out. Like, checkout time's at 11. It's 10:45. God is a God who heals, but you have to be willing and obedient to help bring that healing to people. That's the image of God. And so the sad part to that story is that there are times where I have failed in that. Where I wasn't willing and obedient. And I know those people died. Don't skip on the image that God has placed in you of himself. If God tells you to pray for somebody, pray for them. Because you could be that last person that has an opportunity. Gosh. God is a giver. He gave his son, which is the most important thing. I mean, without Jesus, there would be no us. But more so, Jesus said that he had to go so that he can send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Right? God gave his Spirit unto you. He has poured it out for this time, for this age. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in you. It is God's power for you to be bold. It is God's power for peace. It is God's power for comfort. Amen. It is God's power for the fathers out there. It's your power to teach, to lead, to love. Amen. It's God's power to move on his behalf. The disciples were told to tarry in Jerusalem until they received power, until the Comforter came. Amen. And so God sent his Holy Spirit to give us the ability to be his image. Amen. On earth. Amen. So, and this will just, we'll just close with this. If you haven't already accepted that gift, now, who in here, everybody in here is saved, right? You all are familiar faces. You all have accepted Jesus, I believe. Is there anybody in here who has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. So have you all said, you know what? I want that extra gift. Amen. There are two separate instances where the Holy Spirit is given. There's when Jesus came and he breathed on the disciples, he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," and they were sealed right then for God. But they still had to tarry and receive power from on high. Has everybody in here had that experience? Good. So with that, can I challenge you today to get out there and be the image of Christ?
Amen.
To go out and do what God has called you to do? To be those that bring healing to a lost world, a hope, salvation, love. That's the hardest one, especially people are buck wild out there. But you know what? We can be better than that. Because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, enabling us and giving us the power to be God's love to everyone. I don't care what they did to you. I don't care whose fault it is. Y'all, when we leave here today, let's go out in love. Amen. Sound good? Let's pray really quick. Father God, thank you so much for the word today. Lord God, as we go out, would you help us and guide us, Lord God? Would you keep us in love? Help us to be your image out in the world, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Is there anything else?